Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
This bill, for the first time in 30 years, allows for the taxpayer funding of abortions.
When Christians say, I'm not going to get involved in those things, what we've done, we have now not only abdicated responsibility, but we have absolutely given confirmation to the utter destruction of everything we're afraid to touch.
Today we are celebrating the birth of our Prophet Muhammad, who was born on this day. It's a great day of the Muslim world. The Prophet gave us this religion, which is a religion of peace.
It's true that he was a violent man. In fact, he was, if you will say, the first Muslim terrorist.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
I do not know if I could do this. I pray that I would be able to do it. But I do not know if I could do this. When you read the accounts of these ancient martyrs who went eyes wide open into an arena full of wild animals and onlookers who wanted them dead, who willingly faced death and could have avoided it entirely had they merely renounced Christ or acknowledged the Caesar to be divine, maybe even just throw a little pinch of incense into the fire with the words that Caesar is also Lord along with Jesus Christ. And they know they're facing death. They're being torn away from their families, their congregations, their churches. And I don't know if faced with the same thing, whether or not I could do it. And yet you see people like, in this case, Perpetua and Felicitas from the third century, not only going into martyrdom, but going boldly into martyrdom with the testimony of Jesus Christ on their lips. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number live this Monday afternoon, March the 8th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @IssuesETC. We're going to be talking about third-century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas with Dr. Carl Beckwith here in the first few minutes of Issues Etc. After that, we'll talk with Charmaine Yost of Americans United for Life about comments made by House and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius on Meet the Press about abortion and health care reform legislation. She says there's no abortion in there, and those pro-life Democrats who say there is have nothing to worry about. Then we'll conclude today's program discussing debunking the missing link in human evolution. Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis will be our guest. Joining us to discuss early church martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas is Dr. Carl Beckwith. He's assistant professor of divinity at Beeson Divinity School, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and author of the book Handbook of Consolations for the Fears and Trials That Oppress Us in the Struggle with Death. Dr. Beckwith, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. It's nice to be back.
The early church father Tertullian records, or at least recounts, the martyrdom of these two North African Christian women. How does his account go?
Well, it's thought that Tertullian is the editor of this account, and for our purposes we can say that in fact he is. What we actually have is a diary from Perpetua, a prison diary, where she records for us what is going on while she has been imprisoned because of her Christian faith, and how this leads then to her eventual martyrdom. Tertullian, as the editor, he sets up the martyrdom account at the beginning, telling us why he's giving this to us, and then at the end we'll come back and actually record what happens in the arena and give us the full picture. But what we know is this, that at the end of the 2nd century, beginning of the 3rd century, the Roman emperor, Septimius Severus, passes a decree that says no Christians, no one can convert to Christianity. And now we have widespread persecution in northern Africa, intense persecution at this time. And Perpetua is a catechumen, and she is arrested. Felicitas is also a catechumen, and the two of them are arrested with a number of other individuals. Perpetua is a noble woman. She is a free woman. She's in her early 20s, and she's nursing a child. We learn about her family. Her mother and father are there. Her father is especially pleading with her to not go through with this martyrdom, to essentially renounce her faith and to say that she's not a Christian. She boldly says that I can call myself nothing but a Christian. That is what I am. Therefore, this is what I must go forth and do. Felicitas, on the other hand, is a slave woman. She's pregnant. She's in her 8th month of pregnancy. She too is a catechumen. Both Perpetua and Felicitas are baptized in prison. And Felicitas has a special challenge. The Romans will not allow her to go into the arena to face the wild beasts if she's pregnant. She's 8 months pregnant. She prays that she will give birth, and in fact she does. She gives birth to a little girl. 2 days before the actual martyrdom, before going into the arena. So she's able to join with her fellow friends, and they go into the arena together, encouraging one another. There's a number of other fascinating details, though, that we get out of the martyrdom account, both good details and some challenging details that we see in this account. A few things that we learn is the great witness that these individuals had, that Perpetua and Felicitas had, on those Roman soldiers around them. We're told that the Roman soldier in charge of them, Pudens, becomes a Christian. He sees the witness to their faith. He hears the confession that they make of their Lord, and he embraces that confession. And at the end of the account, we learn that he himself is Christian. We also have, though, and this is maybe one of the more fascinating historical details, this account by Perpetua, this diary written by her own hand, what we have, there's no dispute on this. This is the earliest account, then, by a Christian woman that we have in the early church, and it is her account, again, of what she's going through as she's been arrested and as she's been taken into this prison.
So how exactly do they meet their martyr's death?
Well, there's, again, I suppose a few more details that maybe I should put out here. If your listeners recall, you talked about Polycarp recently, and in Polycarp's martyrdom, a key feature of that martyrdom is that he has a vision. He has a vision where he learns that, in fact, he will be a martyr. And that's a very significant thing that we see in these early martyrdom accounts, that you can't choose to be a martyr, that this no one can make that decision to say, yes, indeed, I'm going to face the wild beast and the torture and so forth for my faith, but rather being called by God to that, to the martyrdom. It is a vocation in that sense. Well, just as Polycarp has that, so too Perpetua records that for us. She has a number of visions in this martyrdom account, and the chief one, the first one, is that she will be martyred for the faith, and this gives her then confidence and resolve to go forth with joy, though she finds herself in this prison and though she'll have to face the awfulness of the beasts in the arena. She goes forth with the confidence and joy that she has in her Lord, that he's calling her to this martyrdom account. Felicitas has a similar experience. We fast forward to the arena itself. There's a number of them in the arena. They're facing these wild beasts. Perpetua, she's a figure that exudes strength amidst all of this. She's encouraging the different friends around her to remain strong in their martyrdom account. And as we get to the end, we see that ultimately the beasts cannot defeat Perpetua. The guard comes at her. He's going to thrust his sword into her, and yet He doesn't have that resolve, and Perpetua then, we are told, guides the sword so that it can come about.
So this rather detailed and moving account of some of these earliest martyrs after the apostolic era, why does the church do well today in what seems like an age of kind of peace and tranquility for the church, at least in the West? Why does the church do well to remember women like Perpetua and Felicitas?
Well, you know, this is actually said to us in the martyrdom account. This is the part where the editor, and if that editor is Tertullian or whoever it may have been, the editor says at the beginning and at the end that it is important for the church to remember, and it is especially important for the church to remember those great heroes of the faith who stand up against the enemies of darkness, against persecutors, take their stand in their faith in Christ, and go forth and boldly declare that faith to the world, even if it is persecution that they will face, even if their life may be lost for this moment where they have to take their stand on their faith, yet they have that eternal life in their Lord. And so I think it's not only important for them, it was important for them in the second century, and incidentally, I mean the third century. This account of Perpetua was one of the most widely known in the early church. Augustine, he preaches on Perpetua at least four times, something the church was always doing in remembering these martyrs, reminding them of the great faith that they exhibited. And I think that's true for us today, that as we look back, we recognize that as the body of Christ, included in that bodies are the saints of those who have gone before us. And we do well to find encouragement in not only studying their various writings, but also learning about the way in which they went forth and boldly proclaimed their faith.
Dr. Carl Beckwith is Assistant Professor of Divinity at Beeson Divinity School. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Birmingham, Alabama, and he's author of the book, Handbook of Consolations for the Fears and Trials That Oppress Us in the Struggle with Death. You'll find information about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Beckwith, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, if you like and appreciate church history, check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. It's called A Cloud of Witnesses. It's a must-watch, and you can watch it tonight at issuesetc.org. Go to the support page. You'll find there the new YouTube video for Issues Etc. called A Cloud of Witnesses. When we come back, Dr. Charlene Yost will join us. We're going to be talking with her about statements made by Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius on NBC's Meet the Press about abortion and health care reform. Sebelius says, no funding, no federal funding for abortion and health care. We'll see what Charlene Yost says after this. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Check out the new Issues Etc. YouTube video, A Cloud of Witnesses.
What went for Mary, the angel speaks in her ear and changes who she is precisely what happens to every Christian. The Lord speaks and he changes you.
James is a great example to us of sober-minded churchmanship.
The cross looms over all of John's ministry. It's about the cross, the Lamb of God.
We see in Nicholas his love of Jesus Christ acting out in mercy for his neighbors, and we see a role model there that we can imitate.
The church, when she sets the day aside to remember St. Elizabeth, is remembering this shining light of benevolent charity and humility.
It's not a popular position, you know, to stand for true doctrine, and yet that's what Ambrose does.
You can watch A Cloud of Witnesses, our new YouTube video, under the support page at issuesetc.org. Historic, authentic Christian radio, issues, etc.